Thank you all so much. You'll turn in your Bibles to John 4, John chapter 4. We're going to be reading there today out of verses 46 through 53. And as I've already said this morning, we're celebrating fathers today. And you may think that you may be, as you sit here, you may be thinking Father's Day is not a day for me. Let me ask you this. How many great-grandfathers do we have in here? Y'all please stand. I know you're probably saying, I can't stand, I'm a great-grandfather. How many grandfathers do we have stand here today? How about that? How many fathers do we have in here today? Please stand. Okay, now listen to this. How many of you have a father? Alive or dead, gone home and be with the Lord. I want you to stand too, all of you. If you have a father, or if you've had a person in your life who has been your father, I want you to stand. So see, this day is for you too. Do you understand that? As we celebrate fathers today, this day is for all of us. You can be seated. And I think that's important that we understand that this day is for everyone. And in church, a lot of this morning I'm going to be speaking to dads. So, and I'm going to be speaking to the church. So if you hear me say father a lot, you may think, well, he's not talking to me. Listen, this is for everybody. Because that's what Father's Day is. So fathers, I want to ask you in particular a question this morning. I want to ask you, how much faith do you put in Jesus to take care of your children? How much faith do you put in God to do what needs to be done for your children? How much faith do you have in Him? And then I want to ask you this. How often do you bring up your children in prayer? How much faith do you do that? How much, as a father, are you praying? Are you lifting up your children to God every day? Are you asking Him to help them and whatever it is they're going through? As most of y'all know, Dana and I have two children. We've got Delaney, who's fixing to be 25 or 26, I'm sorry, and my son Joey, who's about to be 24. And Delaney, y'all know, lives with us and takes care of her mama. And our son Joey, he lives in Huntsville and he works and not doing the job he wants to do yet, but he's making his own way. He's living alone and he's working and I'll tell you, I just don't pretend to know everything that needs to be known to be a father, to be a good father. So you know, I just have to ask God for help. And I just have to ask Him what needs to be done. And as most of you know, when your children grow up, when they become adults, the work's not over, right? We like to think that. We like to think that, well, they've grown up, they've moved away, now I'm done. But it's not over, is it? It's not over. You continue to worry about them. You continue to ask Jesus, Lord, will you just do something to them, something for them before I do something I regret? You know, and we just have to go through. We go through those things. We go through those times. But as fathers, as parents, we need to persevere in prayer. We just need to continue to have faith in God to take care of them. We have to continue to bring them up in prayer and just to ask Jesus to do what needs to be done. And we just have to have faith in Him to handle the things that we can't handle, because we can't handle everything, can we? We just can't do it, and we just got to continue to do that. So I ask you this morning, dads, do you humble yourselves in prayer before God and ask Him to help your children? Whatever it is, we've just got a lot of stuff going on in life. And we're going to read about a guy this morning. We've already read about him a couple of weeks ago in our study in John. But we kind of gleaned over him. What I want to do is I want to look at this guy in particular this morning as we talk about this about having a father's faith. And we're going to read out of John chapter 4, starting with verse 46. So I want to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Man, y'all are probably thinking, man, he's having us get up and get down a lot this morning. So we're going to start in verse 46 of chapter 4 of John. It says this, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him, 'Come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' The nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your son lives.' So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household." This is God's word. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for life. Thank you that we can come to your church and worship you today, that we can open your word and we can hear you speak to us through it. Now, Father, open our hearts and minds to what you have for us to do. And God, we want to hear you today as you call us to be faithful to you. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we read here in our scripture, Jesus goes back to Cana. He goes to Cana. He had just left the Samaritan town and met the woman at the well. We've talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Remember, he had left Jerusalem. He had been in Jerusalem for Passover and was on his way back to Cana, on his way back to Galilee, and he decided to stop in Samaria. He met the woman at the well. He spoke to her, ministered to her, and he told her everything she had ever done. And then she went all over town telling everybody about that. And then they came to believe her. And then ultimately they came to believe Jesus. And he stayed in Samaria for 2 days. And once he left there, he came back to Cana in Galilee. And this is, remember, the scripture even says this, our passage says this morning, this is where Jesus once turned water into wine at the request of his mother. And that was his first miracle. That was the first miracle. And that all brings us to the point where in this story, we see a father. We see a father who's a nobleman. And it says in verse 46, it says, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." So this certain nobleman, some of your translations may say a royal official, or they may say that he was an official. And either way, this guy, this nobleman, he was a king's man. Okay, he worked for King Herod, and he was a king's man, and he was probably not at the Passover feast, because most of these Herodians, they were not known for their piety. They were not known for their faith. As a matter of fact, we read in the scriptures that he found out that Jesus had gone to Cana. And so that means that he probably was not in Jerusalem for the Passover. But that's the way these Herodians were. But on the one hand, we have a royal official. He's on King Herod's payroll. And we've already talked about how they weren't known for their piety. And on the other hand, as a father, he's been helplessly at the bedside of his son. He's agonizing in pain because he can't help him. And you know, being a nobleman, the fact that he's a royal official, he should have had access to doctors. Probably the doctors have come in and they've talked to him, they've examined the boy, and they just don't know what to do. And by now the fever had probably taken over his whole body, and death is just knocking at the door. And you've got this father who's there, and he's with his son, and he doesn't know what to do. Dads, have you ever been in that situation? Maybe not sickness, but maybe you've had a child that, I don't know, got in trouble, did something wrong, is not living the way he's supposed to, and you just don't know what to do. We just don't know what to do. We've done everything we think to do, and like this guy right here, death is looming. It's knocking at the door, and now we see a father who seeks Jesus. And we read in verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Most likely this nobleman gets a report from some of the people who work for him, or some other people who were in Capernaum that had gone to Jerusalem, and they had seen Jesus, this miracle worker, doing this work. And then he finds out that he's gone to Cana now. Well, Cana is 20 miles away. Now, we probably think about, well, 20 miles, that's not that far. Well, remember, during this time, you couldn't just jump in the car and drive a half hour down the road. 20 miles away meant an eight-hour walk. And he was probably about 8 hours away. And not to mention the fact that Cana was a stronghold for radicals who really did not like King Herod. And they didn't like anybody who worked for King Herod, because they served the Romans, who was the occupying force in the area at that time. So this guy wouldn't have been a good thing for anybody to know who he was if he went to Cana. But you know what? He sought Jesus. How many of you today are willing to do whatever it takes to find Jesus? How many of you today are willing to bring your children to the Lord? And how many of you seek Him daily to help your children? We already asked that question, right? How many of you go to the Lord in prayer and bring your children and say, God, my children, I just need you to help them this morning. I just need you to help them today. I need you to help them every day. And we have this man who's looking for, he's willing to go on this 20 mile, this 8 hour trip. So with this knowledge that Jesus is in Cana and hearing of his ability to heal, the nobleman, he gets up before dawn and he starts making the trip. He probably arrives to Cana around noon. But once he gets to Cana, he's got to find Jesus. That probably wasn't that hard, because Jesus probably had a crowd of people around him. And so he goes and he finds Jesus, and he arrives there and comes to Jesus, and he starts begging him to help his son. He came to Cana, he finds Jesus and went directly to him, and it says he pleaded with him to come down and heal his son, since he was about to die. This man's son is dying, and he'll do anything for his boy to be made well. We get that way sometimes with our children. We'll do anything we've got to do to help them, right? Anything. What I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to go to the Lord with them? Are you willing to bring your children to the cross so that they can be made well? Are you willing to bring your children to the cross from the situations that they're in? You know, some Sunday, lots of times we joke around on Mother's Day that we praise mothers, and on Father's Day, we bash dads. That's what preachers have a reputation for, right? But what I want to do today, dads, is not bash you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that, you know what? When we don't have all the answers, we can come to Jesus. When we don't know where to go or what to do, we can come to Jesus. When we're wandering around and help looks like it's nowhere in sight, we can go to Jesus. Whenever there's issues in our life, in our family, with our children, with our wives, we can go to Jesus. How many of y'all have come to Jesus with the things in your life, with the things in your family? You know, you can do that today. You can start coming to Jesus. We just have to have faith in Him. We have to believe in Him. So he came to Cana and he pleaded with him that his son was about to die. And I know a lot of us, we run into those things. It doesn't have to be a young child. It could be an adult child. As fathers, we sometimes reach a point where it just doesn't matter. We'll take help from anything. And we get to the point where we say, I'll do anything to make things better for my child. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been to that point where everything you do, and you do everything and nothing helps? And eventually you realize that you're a father who's not only just a father, who's not only seeking Jesus, but you're a father who's powerless. Because we are powerless. We've got to seek Jesus for our strength. We see here that this nobleman, he's a man with power until he realizes that he's powerless to help his son. We may think that we're somebody, you know, but it's easy to be humble, isn't it? It's easy to be humble. So he makes the trip. He comes to Jesus. He begs him to help him. And what does Jesus say to him? I read this in verse 48. He says, "Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Wow. This man just comes to Jesus and says, "I need you to help my son. He's about to die, Lord." And what does Jesus say? "Unless you guys see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe." He kind of pops off at the guy, right? This is not the only time in Scripture that we see Jesus pop off at somebody, you know, like that. We kind of look at it and say, "Man, Jesus, that's pretty tough." And the man grabs on in verse 49. He says, "Sir, come with me. This is life or death for my boy," is what he's saying here. Then Jesus makes the man move one more time by saying this, "Unless you see a sign, you folks won't believe." But he tells him, "This is life or death for my boy." So I don't think this is Jesus just popping off at the guy or kind of putting him off. This is Jesus pushing him into faith. He's testing his faith is what he's doing here. You got to hear the word of Jesus here. You know, Jesus makes the man move his faith from his eye to his ear. In other words, now bear with me. Lots of times we as preachers, we like to say, it's all in the heart. Well, here it's in the ear. Because this guy is wanting this, he's wanting Jesus to go with him to Capernaum so he can see this. Because it's got to be that way. And to be faithful, not in what he sees, but what Jesus is telling him. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's trying to challenge the man's faith so that he'll believe in what God's telling him. You know, I've told y'all before, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us from His Word, right? That's how the Lord speaks to us. I want to ask you this morning, are you hearing what Jesus is saying to you this morning? How about it, dads? Are you hearing what Jesus is telling you this morning? Because He's got something to tell you in His Word. And He's wanting you to come to Him in prayer so He can continue to speak to you. And He wants you to, He's got a way that He wants you to live. And He wants to let you know that you are not powerless, that you have power through Him. So we've got to accept the challenge here, to accept the call of Christ and to receive His power and let Him do a work in our lives. So what is Jesus trying to tell you this morning, dads? Dads, are you sharing the faith of Jesus in your family? Are you teaching them to bring everything to Jesus by your example of bringing everything to Jesus? Are you teaching them to do that? Or are you still just waiting for proof? Are you still waiting to see something? That's the old saying, isn't it? Seeing is believing. Well, I'm here to tell you that sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes we've just got to listen and we've got to hear God and we've got to have faith that He'll do what He's going to say, that He says He's going to do. We've got to believe. We've just got to believe. See, what Jesus is doing here with this nobleman, He's testing to see if the nobleman is really placing his faith in Him. Does he have to see Jesus' work, or does he have enough faith that Jesus will just heal his son? And that's That's what he does. He doesn't go with the man. He only gives him a word. What's that word? Verse 50 says, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. But I'm going to tell you, remember we read in our passage a while ago, we see it says that the man believes here, but then we see again that the man believes, right? Because lots of times we like to believe, right? But we don't believe all the way, right? We don't believe all the way. That's why we see a father who believes. You know, when he hears Jesus saying this, he's saying, what? Can that happen? Is there such thing as a long-distance miracle? Can Jesus speak a word and save my son 20 miles away? Can he save his life? Does it really work that way? And you know what he does? He hears Jesus and he says, okay, I believe. But do you know, remember, it took 8 hours to get to Cana. Now it's going to take 8 hours to get back. And he had a plan. He was planning on bringing Jesus back to Capernaum with him. And when he gets there and he talks to Jesus, Jesus says, go, your son lives. And he starts walking. Well, what do you think may have happened partway through that trip? How many times have we done things in our lives to help our children? And we say, did I do the right thing? You know, this might cut a little close to the bone, but maybe some of you have had a child that got arrested and you said, I'm not bonding him out. And then afterwards you're like, is that the right thing? That's tough, isn't it? But I believe this guy probably an hour into the journey back to Capernaum, he's like, yeah, Jesus said he's going to heal my son. And like, okay, is that really what's happening? Because we do that sometimes. We question our faith. We question our belief. And we want to believe God, but it's just hard to do that sometimes. So Jesus doesn't go with the man. So he takes that hard turn back to go back to Capernaum. And the nobleman had planned to bring Jesus with him, and it just didn't happen. He didn't get what he planned. What he got was Jesus' word. And sometimes that's the way it is with us. We don't get what we plan. You know, how many times have you prayed for something and you pray hard about it? You know what I mean? You just pray over and over and over again. It's like God just doesn't hear your prayer. He doesn't. You think that anyway. But I'm here to tell you, God does answer prayers. Maybe by not giving you what you asked for, that's the answer to your prayer. Maybe you didn't need it. So we question, and sometimes though, we question that, don't we? We do. We question our faith. We question our belief. Look, that's human for us to do that, but we've just got to be reattuned to our faith, and we've got to continue to follow Jesus. I tell you, it reminds me in Mark 9, there's a story about a father who brings his son to the disciples, and he's possessed, and it says that the son is foaming at the mouth, and he's constantly trying to throw himself in the fire. And he brings himself to Jesus. He brings his son to Jesus to heal him, to cast this demon out of him. And the man says to Jesus, he says, if you can, then please just have compassion on us. And Jesus says to the man, if you can, he says, everything is possible to the one who believes. And you know what the man says to Jesus there? He says, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. Sometimes we believe, right? But we've just got to ask God to help us in our unbelief. Because there's some things we want to believe so bad, but we just have issues with it. Maybe that's something you're going through right now. Look, I know he's there. I surrendered my heart to him, but I've just still got doubt. You need to ask God to take that doubt away. You need to ask God to help you in your unbelief. Because we all experience that from time to time. Here's this man in Mark 9. He's standing before Jesus Christ and with his son. And he's asking Jesus, help me in my unbelief. But can you see this nobleman, this father, his heart's pounding on that journey back, going back to Capernaum. And he's just got to be asking himself, am I doing the right thing? He's continuing to say, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. You know, maybe he's saying, like the disciples used to say, Lord, increase my faith. Maybe he's saying that. You know, that he's saying, Lord, increase my faith. That's a good, and I'll tell you, that's a good prayer, right? Lord, increase my faith. Maybe we need to do that every day, all day. Whenever we do anything that we're doing, when we live our life. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But it says this on verse 51, on the trip back with this guy, it says that as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Now, you know, that's the second time we see your son lives in this passage. And then it says in verse 52, then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. There's a third time in this passage that your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. So after this, what do we see? We've seen a father. We've seen a father who seeks Jesus. We've seen a father who's powerless. And we've seen a father who believes. And now we see a father with faith. Because in this text, we see how God shows a moving out in faith of this man, this nobleman, this powerful man who is powerless to save his son. And we see him moving out. So we see a father with faith. It's a simple faith in Christ that causes a man to go. You know, we've just got to have a simple faith. We read in Matthew 17 how we have to have a mustard seed faith to move mountains. But so we're talking about a simple faith. You know, God doesn't need much. He just needs a little bit. He needs a simple faith to go. We need a simple faith to move out. We need a simple faith to believe that Jesus can help us in our times of need. And fathers, that's what we've got to do. We've got to demonstrate that to our children. We've got to move out in faith. We got to show a pattern of faith. You know, we see a pattern of faith in God's Word. And we see in Matthew when the Canaanite mother approached Jesus with her possessed daughter. And the woman is just persistent with Jesus. She stays after him about her daughter. And then finally Jesus says, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment on, her daughter was cured. We read about that in Matthew 17. We see it when Jesus instructs the disciples to tell the 5,000 plus people to sit on the grass and get ready to eat. And the disciples are thinking, what are we going to feed them? Well, it wasn't up to them to worry about that. They just had to have enough faith in Jesus to tell the people to sit down and get ready to eat. And you know what happened after they sat down? They ate. Because God provided. Because God provided. We see it also, too, in 1 Kings. I'm reminded of 1 Kings, and we see the story of General Naaman, who was a famous general, and he had leprosy. And he goes to the man of God. He goes to the prophet, Elisha, and to see if Elisha can call on God to heal him. And Elisha doesn't even go and talk to the guy. He sends his servant out, and he says, go bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, Naaman is just pretty mad about that because he's kind of a well-known guy. He's somebody, just like our nobleman in this scripture passage here. He's somebody, and he says, I'm not going to do it. Well, then finally one of Naaman's servants says, hey, the man of God told you to do it. So he goes and does it, and what happens the seventh time he comes out of the Jordan River? He's cured. It just takes a little bit of faith. Lord, increase my faith. I'm not the most faithful man sometimes. So we just got to remember to cry out to Jesus and ask Him, Lord, increase my faith. And just ask Him daily. God moves people into faith. Some of the things you go through in life, some of the things we all go through in life, we go through these things because God is attempting to move us in faith. We see this nobleman's faith increase. And it says, you know, we've already read it in Hebrews 11:1 where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Jesus pushes this man's faith because he had something else in mind, didn't he? We see it right there in our scripture. What do we see in verse 53? At that very hour, Jesus said, your son will live. His son was healed. And then what? Then he himself believed along with his whole household. Dads, if you will believe and have faith in Jesus, that your whole household, your family will follow that example. Dads, you are the leader in your family. You are the leader in your family. You are the one who is called to lead your children to Christ. I'll tell you, I remember when my son got saved. It was an upward basketball. And he was out there at basketball practice for upward basketball. And I was sitting with another guy talking, another dad talking to him. And then I looked out there and I said, oh man, look. The coach was taking my son off to the side. And I was like, oh, you know what that is, don't you? And then the coach looks at me and says, and I go over to him. He says, I thought you might want to be here for this. And I was like, oh, I do. So I got to sit there as my son prayed to receive Jesus at basketball practice. Amen. Fathers, we're the leaders in our family. We can't expect to just bring our kids to church and drop them off and expect them to get God that way. They need to hear you pray. They need to see you studying your Bible. They need to hear you praying in faith to bring them to the cross. That's what I think this was here. When we see this father, you know, we see this father. It said, when it says that then he himself believed along with his whole household. You know, Jesus wanted to save the man's son, but he also wanted to save his family. It was like a covert motive. Yeah, it was like a sneak attack. You know, and Jesus wanted to save this man's family, the rest of the family, his servants, everybody that lived with the nobleman. And fathers, as the leader of your church, success and failure rise on your leadership. As the leader of your family, success and failure rise and fall on your leadership. And to be a good leader, you must be a father of faith. A father with faith in Jesus. A father with a father that prays for his children. A father who prays, I'll give you one more. A father who prays for the mother of his children. Even if you're not married to him anymore, you should be praying for the mother of your children. So the question is, dads, are you praying for your children? Are you lifting them up in your prayers daily? Are you praying daily? How about that one? Are you following in faith where Jesus is directing you to go for the sake of your children? I know when we talk about parenting, we like to quote Proverbs 22:6 a lot. Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But look, there's a point in life when our children, they have to make decisions for themselves. They make adult decisions for themselves, and they have to choose their own way. Now, does that mean that we just stand by and let them go and do whatever? No, it doesn't mean that. You still got to let them make their decisions, but you need to support them as best you can, but you need to let them know when they're not doing what honors God. And you know, ideas about fatherhood tend to evolve over the years about how we as dads can pass on our faith and remain stable to children and children to grow in adulthood. But because a lot of children today, they just, when they get into adulthood, they just move away from church. I'll tell you, I'm one of those. I moved away from church. My dad raised me. I was the son of a deacon, and he raised me to be that way. But I drifted for a number of years. But praise God that I didn't depart from it. Because, so look, for those of you that you've got children that are wandering right now, I want to remind you to stay in prayer. Keep the faith. Continue to believe. I want to encourage you, dads, that you still have access to your children, that you can still minister to them. You can still lead them and teach them. You know, my son, now that he's an adult, that there's sometimes where I'll think of something and I'll say, hey, I never taught you this when you was little, but I want to tell you now. And I just do that kind of stuff. And you know where I get that from? I take the lead from my dad, who does the same thing, has done the same thing over the years. You know, I probably never talked to you about this, but I'm doing it now. You know, my dad's going to be 80 this year. I think I already told you all that a couple weeks ago. My dad's going to be 80 this year. I get to see him today. But one of the things that's neat about my relationship with my dad is, you know, when I was a little boy, he was just my dad. He was kind of the guy who bossed me around, you know. Yeah, I knew he loved me, but there were sometimes I'd stick my tongue out at him when he wasn't looking. But now as we've grown older and I'm a dad now, we've become friends and we talk about everything. And I see him now. He's my dad, but I see him more as a mentor, as a leader. You know, since we moved up here, I haven't seen him that much. I don't get to see him as much as I used to. And as a matter of fact, I've only been back home maybe 5 times since we've been up here. But I'm going to go see him today. But like the last time I went to see him, let me tell you what he done. We visited for a couple hours and said, all right, I need to go back up to Leesburg. And he says, all right, let's get it in here. And he prays over me. And he shows that faith that a father should show. I'm bragging on my dad. But you know what? He's only that way because of Jesus. He's that way because of Jesus, because of the Father. And maybe sometimes we've got to look at it. And I can only hope that I can be that way one day. And I just have to go to the Heavenly Father and ask Him what to do. I take my lead from my dad and from my Heavenly Father. And that's what God's asking us to do. Fathers, you just got to bring your children to Jesus. And fathers, we've got to come with them. We've got to be holding their hand as they come. It doesn't matter how little they are. It doesn't matter how old they are. We've just got to bring everything to Jesus. Everything. So, I got way off my notes there. So let's go ahead and get ready to close because I know I've kept you late. But I just got to ask you, are you sharing the gift of Christ by doing everything you can to bring others, including your children, to Him? Or maybe you're not even sure of what that gift is, what that gift of Jesus is. Maybe you've got to take care of some things yourself. But dads, church, today's the day of salvation. Today is the day that we can claim that faith in Jesus Christ that He offers us. We can claim that gift of grace that He gives us. So We were talking about it with the kids this week in Bible school. All you've got to do is admit that you're a sinner. You've got to admit your sin. You've got to confess your sin to Him. And you've got to repent of it. Then you've got to believe that Jesus is the only one who can save you. Because He is. It's a fact. And then you've got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then you can begin that faith journey too. Maybe you're just getting started. It's just like I told you. There's some stuff, I'll think of stuff that I never taught my son. And I just call him up and say, hey, I never told you this. Wouldn't it be great today, dads, if you could call your son up or your daughter and tell him, hey, you know, I've never lived for Jesus while I was bringing you up, but I'm starting now. And I'm praying for you to do the same thing. And I'm going to ask the Lord to show me what I need to do to teach you as He teaches me. So let's claim that gift of grace today, church. Let's claim that gift of grace today, fathers. And let's be fathers of faith. Only in Jesus Christ.